Good morning. Yeah, with the whole back to school stuff, I thought the students look a little bit more tired. The parents look a bit more well rested, and I think there's a healthy amount of fear for the teachers. So that's good that everyone's back and at it, and all at different levels there. Well, today we're going to be in our third and final week for my preaching series, which I'm excited about, and it's the God-given mission. And so we'll be exploring the Great Commission in that, and we'll be looking at Matthew 28, 16 through 20, primarily focusing on that. Week one, if you remember, which I'm sure you guys hang on to every single word that is said from up here. That's right, Jeremy? I'm sure you don't have any problems with repeating yourself. You have the God-given promises where we can hold on. When God says it, we can hold on to that. We know it is done. It is good as done because he is good. We explored Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and Jesus in a little bit of prophecy as well. Again, it was like a brief survey, so we had covered a lot of ground there. Week two, we looked at God-given resources, and this is a more sensitive subject, obviously, because this is something that we're called to do, and we explored how the Holy Spirit works in that. We looked at how his word plays a role, how prayer, time, finances, and the church are resources that God gave us to use and to take advantage of, and that we have one another for a reason, which all leads up to this week, which I believe is the God-given mission, what we're called to do. So let's pray before we begin. Lord, we're thankful for today. Help us solidify your word in our hearts, because it is truth and it is worth holding on to. We love you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, amen. Now, first let me say, when I say this is a God-given mission, that there's not a cookie cutter, but a general guideline in that we're called to follow. You know, we won't be called outside of that. Now, what you do exactly will probably look a little bit different than what I do day in, day out. But I see that as a new opportunity, because God puts you in a certain place in life for that very purpose. Some are called to ministry, some are called to being teachers, some are called to many different roles. But we're supposed to be taking advantage of that resource that God gives us to follow after him. So let's explore that today. First, let's read the passage itself, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, if you'd turn there, or it's on the board. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So that's what we're exploring today, and I think it's pretty clean cut, but, again, we have to individually explore what this looks like in our lives. The first is the build-up, is what I call it, verse 16. It's now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. Now, we need to keep in mind, when we sometimes read this, we read this as a narrative, as one thing leads to the next, leads to the next, but there were things that happened in between the time when he was resurrected and the time he says this. So we got to remember that Jesus ministered to these disciples for roughly 3 years, day in, day out. He rubbed shoulders with them. And then he also was given up to the cross by one of the 12. That's why we're down to 11. Judas didn't quite make that. And so he was crucified upon the cross for us, for our sins, and he rose to defeat death on that third day. So we're getting this from our resurrected king is saying this. It's an important note to make. He conquered death. This isn't just some man saying this. This is Jesus Christ telling us this. We should take heed of what he has to say. And up to this point, he also visited Peter and the other disciples, and, you know, like the story of Doubting Thomas. How would you like to be remembered as Doubting Thomas? Kind of a bummer there. He did so much others, but we often remember as that. And even visited 500 others in that time. And this is all happening. So then they went and met him on this mountain. So it kind of sets the scene here. And then we look at verse 17. I call authenticity. Because there's two responses here, if we note. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. One Christian remarked that this is the most authentic, one of the most authentic verses in the Bible, that they see the two responses that we are left with today. We can respond with worship, or we can respond with doubt when we're confronted with our Lord. We can worship or doubt. There's no doing both. We can give praise to the one who is worthy, or we can live our life without true meaning. We have a choice just as they did. How are we going to respond? Now, verse 18, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Again, this is the resurrected King saying this. It's something that we're called to do not by our own power, but through him. He's telling us that he has all of the authority, not just some of it or a part of it or a portion, or he's going to fill us. He has all of it. It is not by our means, and we need him and his spirit to guide us, because he has the spirit of power and love, of mercy and grace. Those aren't exactly my high attributes on my own, as I readily admit. So we need to remember this is by his power, not by our own. I was joking before the service, maybe next time I'll preach, I'll grab 5 water bottles and you'll see if you guys get nervous that how long I'll preach, and maybe you'd be able to estimate the time. But back on track. So that's, we're by his power, not our own. So let's lean on him. Verse 19 goes on to say the direction, the mission itself. So he prefaced it with what by what authority, and now he's saying, what is the mission? And the mission is go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on in a moment, and we'll get to that in a moment. But it's important that this is the beginning of our charge. And this does not just apply to the apostles or those 11 that were there right then, but to us today. It's to those who follow Christ. This is our stead. Go, Jesus commands. This is active participation, nothing idle. It is a willingness to go and do. The go, I think, implies an intentional movement. It's not just meandering about. There's purpose to each step. And that purpose is to make disciples. It is important to note that that is what we're trying to do. Otherwise, we're kind of moving about in vain. It does not say to make an attempt to do something good. It's very specific to say that we are to make disciples. And disciples are those who follow after Christ, who want to learn what he has to say, who want to honor him with their lives. Now, it's a command to encourage others to follow, and it is my hope that we understand that that's what our Cornerstone's church mission statement is. It's followers of Christ, helping others follow Christ in unity and in love. That's our charge. This is where we get that mission statement, is from this passage. So keep that in mind. Now, don't misunderstand me. We will make mistakes, and grace is as good as good gets. It's a wonderful thing. But we are on a God-sent mission, and we're not doing this by our own terms or our own efforts, but by his terms and his doing, his work through the cross and all of his spirit. We're to trust Christ alone, show and teach others to do the same. But please don't confuse Christ alone with idleness. I can't put enough emphasis on that. Don't confuse that. We are saved through Christ alone by faith and grace, but we are not earning our salvation. We are responding to the salvation to follow. Lost my spot in my notes. All right, here we are. We are not only asked to make disciples, but baptize them. That's an important note. And as Pastor Jeremy mentioned earlier, we have some baptisms coming up, and we would love for you to join that. But baptism is a great thing, but the water and the action does not save. You first have to make a decision to follow Christ, and then be baptized as an act of obedience. I guess we got a responder here. It is an act of obedience. It is a professing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, to be washed of your sins, and that God, the Father, and the Son and the Spirit did the work of your salvation. You come to the water as an outward sign of an inward grace, of the grace that's at work in your life, to profess it to us all, that you are choosing to follow Him. Baptism is beautiful. It's one of my favorite sacraments, one of those church-ordained things. If you are interested in being baptized, please contact us. Talk to Pastor Jeremy, talk to myself. You can even, if you don't like talking to us for some reason, you can mark it on your card, and then we'll come talk to you. But it is an important thing. This is a Christ commandment of an act of obedience. If you haven't been baptized, please consider this. It's a great proclamation, but again, it's not a salvation issue. You're already saved, but it is an act of obedience to our Father and to His Son. So if you want to take the dip, just let us know. On to verse 20. It's the mission and then also a promise in that verse. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. Now again, where do we get that? We get that from His Word. We get that through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We get that through prayer and time with Him. Nothing will contradict what's written in His Word. We need to spend time getting to know Him. It's like any other relationship. If I don't talk to my wife, the communication's not there, is it? There's not much of a relationship. We need to take time for that. We need to make effort. And trust me, it's worth all the while. Things worthwhile take a while. And it's okay if it doesn't feel like you have it at first. Stick with it. He's there. He is good. He'll do what He promises. But what a statement that is, to teach them all that I've commanded. It's only done through God's strength once again. And in His Spirit. This is not of our own doing, but we must be willing. The word teaching is yet another active word. We have go, make, baptize, and teach. It's another active word. An appropriate subject for this week as everyone's getting back to their routine in this town. That teaching with intentionality, once again, that mission in mind. And that goal in mind is to make disciples, to understand the Christ-given commandments that we want to do as Christ says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And then Christ was not a boring teacher or one-dimensional. He had many different facets that He took advantage of. After all, He was the Son of God. He wasn't very one-dimensional, anything about Him. He has more dimensions than we even know. And I think how he taught in public, like the Sermon on the Mount, that wasn't exactly a venue, but it was in public. Jesus taught to the people from house to house. He taught through examples of His own and stories, parables. He used opportunities of any sort to teach God's lessons, to show God's love, to show God's grace, to show God's judgment too. He interacted with people day in, day out. They saw how He lived. He wasn't just a shut-in. He wasn't just a Sunday morning show-up. He lived it day to day, and we're called to do the same. We can teach, some of us from the pulpit, some of us from a classroom, some of us with our children. There's many different avenues. It doesn't have to be the formal setting, but also the informal setting as well. There's always opportunities to learn, to grow, to live by the Spirit. He always followed through in His opportunities. And then what I always think about is, how are we doing this as a church? And I think that comes down to, how are we doing individually? I have to ask myself that all the time to evaluate. How am I doing at this teaching? How am I doing at this following? How am I doing at making disciples? And when we answer that, because each of us are members of the body, all working together. Now, if we have a dysfunctional hand, the body's not fully functioning. We got a little Missouri twang there, functioning. We need to be working together for this. We are called to be doing this. There's so much to it. And it is good and it's worthwhile. But to evaluate how the church is doing, we first need to ask ourselves, how are we doing at this? And that will give a pretty good indication of how the church is doing, because we are the members of it. So what I always ask as well, Acts 20:24. I failed to get it on the PowerPoint, but Acts 20:24. That was also the Ufta verse, and it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. There's a lot of favorite verses, but there's another one that I just absolutely love. The NLT has this version, and this is Paul speaking, a man that spoke with conviction, and not only spoke with conviction, but lived with that same passion. Paul was nothing short of zealous. And in Acts 20:24, it says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." That's our mission. To count all else loss and strive after Him. That nothing else is worth a nickel if it is not for Christ. He counts it all loss. He also uses different allusions about running. And I always think that we want to run in such a manner as to win the prize. And if you have a broken foot, you're excused to run. You can walk after it. But we are called to run, which is an appropriate saying during the Olympics, I think. Because we want to get to an end goal in mind, that we want to win the prize. And this prize won't rust or fade away, but it is one that is found eternally through the Father. So we must not strive after what can fade or die or wither away, but strive after the thing that is only worthwhile, that the only thing that matters, and that's the gospel. That is Christ. That is our resurrected King. That is our good Father. Let's run as to win the ultimate prize. Let's run to Him, for Him. My hope and my prayer is for all of us to come to the finish line and hear the glorious words of our Lord, our Savior, saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." How good would those words sound by your Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the one who loves you like crazy? How wonderful will that be? There's so much more to look forward in heaven, but just those words alone would be worth it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So some questions to consider. And I come back to the week one when we talk about the promises. Do we trust His promises? Do you trust Jesus when He says, "I am with you always to the end of the age"? Do you trust Him? That's a promise. He will be with us. Do you follow Him? This week I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone, thanks an easy route because of those blessing bags. If you remember, those blessing bags are things they hand out to those in need. That through VBS, Vacation Bible School, that they got together and they bought a bunch of supplies and put them in a Ziploc bag. And those are out in that cabinet out there if you're interested. And you hand them out to those who are in need. And inside that bag is a handwritten note, usually from one of the students, the children that attended. And when the man opened up the bag, it said, "Follow Him." So that made a really easy segue for me to be able to explain, what does that mean? Inappropriate that I was talking about this week. But it made for incredible opportunity. So I also want to spread the word, because you guys will see people perhaps over at that McDonald's and Wendy's, or not Wendy's, oh, rest in peace, Wendy's, the Walmart entrance there, that you'll see people with the signs that you can grab a bag, and that's an easy way to show some love, give them some food, and be able to share the gospel with them. There's an easy segue. It knocks down some of those walls, those barriers that we put up. So that was fun that it happened to say, "Follow Him," and I don't believe in coincidences. The next question I want to ask is, how are you serving? Today is obviously an opportunity for a response in the far hallway. And you can see I'm concluding early on purpose, and don't spend that time because I already spent it for you. That's for you to go down to that far east hallway and just try to get informed. Have information given to you. Sign up for a few things to at least get an idea. You're not signing your life away. You're just trying to figure out where you possibly be able to fit. There's so many different avenues to be able to serve, as Pastor Jeremy pointed out, and he just touched the surface of it. There's just some great opportunity. It could be up front, it could be behind the scenes, and in between all of those. There's an incredible opportunity to serve our Lord in that easy capacity, because we're called to. We're called to follow, and that's one way that we do it. The one that I really want to push, not that I'm taking any favorites, but something that's very hard, heavy on my heart, and that's the host homes. If you are interested in hosting a home group, that is an incredible opportunity that I think is imperative for the growth and the health of our church. We're called to minister on Sundays, yes, but also home to home, and we want to create a bond of community with one another. And being a host has for some pretty easy requirements. You have to be willing to let people into your house and have a heart for those people. Everything else can be learned. Those are the only two requirements that really can get you going. You got to be willing to open your home and have a willing heart. So if you're interested, please let us know. We really want to get that underway, and we think this is the next step for our community here at Cornerstone. The next question is, are you serving with the God-given mission in mind? All those things down in that hallway are great, but if you don't have that mission in mind, that God-given mission, the idea of wanting to make disciples, to follow after Him, it's all for naught. We need to have that mission in mind. It's interesting, when you focus on the big mission as followers of Christ and helping others follow Christ, as our mission statement says, in unity and in love, that smaller things stay small. Those anthills don't become mountains. They remain anthills. We don't squabble over those small details, but we're so focused on what God has for us that there's a greater bond, a greater unity in all of us because we all have the big picture in mind. Those details are exactly that, just details. Those aren't as important as the big picture of following after Christ and saving people from themselves, from their sin. That's what Christ has called, what He came to do. He came for the sick, and boy, do we need Him. So let's focus on the mission. And the last question, one that I want you guys to really think about. Do you long for those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Let that be an inspiration to you, because everything else falls into place when we really want to honor God, that we'll serve, we will give our time, our money, our efforts, whatever it takes, because that's a response for the furtherance of the kingdom, because that is the bigger mission at mind. Those details are just small, those anthills. So let's strive after pleasing the Lord, to honor the Lord with all that we are. Let's strive after what our resurrected King asked us to do when He said, "Go and make disciples." Let's make disciples, true, authentic people that want to follow hard after Christ. But we have to be following too. There's a lot to it. It's simple, but it's a lifelong mission. But it is worth all the while. I get excited about it. But let's pray and give praise to our Lord. And then we'll sing a song. Stick around for directions and also allow some ministry leaders to leave to kind of get ahead of the curve a little bit. And as extra incentive, my wife whipped up about 9 dozen chocolate chip cookies at the end of the hallway. Yeah, I'm not silly. I work with youth. I know how this works. But it's at the end of the hallway. So please stick around, get some information, participate. Let's be the body of Christ together. Let's be unified in truth. and in love. Let's be unified through Him. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for this beautiful Sunday morning. We're so thankful that You even involve us in this mission. Convict us, Lord, to have a true purpose that You call us to. Help us strive after You each and every day, not just Sunday mornings, that we want to follow You with all that we are as a response to Your good and free grace. That work of the cross is so lovely, Lord. Help us not hide that lamp, but let that light shine to others so they may see. We love You, Lord, and thank You so much for today. In Your precious Son's name, amen.